Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
How's everybody doing? Well, three of you is doing real good. I don't know about the rest of you. I tell you what, let's just all stand up. You got too comfortable there for just a few minutes. I want you to just turn to somebody and tell them one thing God has done for you in the last week. Go ahead. Amen. Amen. All right. Don't sit down yet. Stand back up. The Bible says that for his mighty deeds that we should shout for joy and rejoice in the presence of the congregation. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. All right, you may be seated. Sooner or later, we'll let you sit down, right? I do have one announcement about the Project 22. Project 22 is our seats, our sign, and our security. And we're wanting to raise $100,000 to be able to do all those. And to date, we started that about 6 weeks ago. And today we have around $12,500. So thank you. Well, I'm going to talk to you today a little bit more about what the enemy uses, but I'm going to use this message today. I feel like the Lord's leading me to do this in a way that we're not going to just focus on what the enemy's doing. We're focusing on what God's doing while the enemy is doing. We're going to focus on what God's doing while the enemy's doing what he thinks he needs to do. But have you ever, since you've been born again, have you ever said, Lord, use me for your glory? Has anybody ever said that? Or something like that? Wave at me. Use me for your glory. Have you ever said, show your power through me? Or you want the power of God, you said, I really want the power of God to be, you know, to work through me to do whatever he wants to do. Has anybody ever said that? Okay. So we're all together with this. And then in thinking that of our own lives, we also read the Bible about examples of all of the people that we have seen that God has used in the scripture, right? So God has used people in the scriptures, and you know, y'all know them: Job, Joseph, Daniel, Moses, David, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and also Peter, Paul, and Mary. How you like that? In the New Testament, Peter, Paul, and Mary. How many of you do not know who Peter, Paul, and Mary is? Okay. But God uses he used people in the Old Testament, uses people today. And we read about these things and all the great results of how God has touched people's lives and used them for his glory and shown his strength through them. But usually there's a missing thing or there's something that we usually miss in the process. And I'll ask this question: as he uses people, does he use comfort or does he use trials? One of the biggest things that God uses is trials. It's something that we don't want to really talk about a lot, something that we don't, you know, like to consider. But God uses the difficult times to do things in our lives to be able to make us more usable. Amen. He's not after the outside things. He's after the inside things. And I hope today that if the, you know, if we communicate this right, we're asking the Holy Spirit to really help us in this, that we'll leave here with a greater understanding of why we have trials and what we should be doing in the midst of our trials. And that anyway, so we have all these things, but we want to make sure that when we see people that's been used greatly of God, it's usually because they've been through something extremely difficult in their lives to be able to get there. Is that true? By the way, you wrote a book, and that it's Not My Time to Die. Where can we get that book? Just all the book places, right? On the internet. You have 100 of them. Yeah. Will anybody take 50? No, I'm teasing. But they'll be available for people. Really, Pat, you know, really support him and read his book. It's testimony about, it's really not, it wasn't his time to die when everything around him said die. All right, I'll just put that in as a little advertisement, but you really need to get that book. But in the process of all these things called trials, it's not that they face trials in the Bible. It's how they face trials in the Bible. And it's not that we face trials, it's how we face trials. Trials and are going to come, right? The difficult time. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation. Is that all he said? What else did he say? But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So we live in a world that Jesus, it's a fallen world, but Jesus has already overcome the world. And he says, and also in this world, you're going to have trials. You're going to have tribulation. You're going to go through those tight places that on the other side is going to be more freedom than you ever experienced before. But you're going to see that. But we need to understand that the reality check in our trials is, how am I going to go through what I'm in? How am I going to go through what I'm already in? Not, you know, we want to say, how do I get out of this? What we need to be saying is, how do I get through this? Getting through it will get you out of it. So you don't want to prematurely get out of something that you haven't learned what you're supposed to learn in it, and then have to see it all over again. So God is in the middle of everything that we're going through, but here's what I want you to know, that he is preparing you and I today for the trials that are ahead, for the things that are coming. The Bible says this, that Acts 14:22, it says this, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. How many of you want to enter the kingdom of God? I'm not saying enter the kingdom as a new believer, you just got saved, but you want to enter into more of the kingdom. That's what he's talking about. You want to enter in more of the kingdom than what you're already experiencing, right? How many of you want to enter into more of that? Wave at me. You want to have more of that. You want to experience more of it. You want to enter more of it. Well, guess how you're going to get there? How are we going to get there? Through some tribulations, through some trials. Through the narrow way. Sounds like somebody over here, Eric, he sort of knows a little bit about how narrow it can get. You know, so, but we need to know that God is using the trials, but he's not the only one using them. The enemy has a plan and a scheme and all that to go along with the trial and try to get us to be discouraged and try to get us to be disappointed and try to get us to be held captive by things that's going on in the trial. In other words, the enemy wants us to consider his ways and not consider God's ways, even in the midst of the same trial. Both are at work. We often think, and I say, well, why doesn't God just do away with that part? Well, if he's going to do that, he'd have took the tree out of the garden from the very beginning. But see, he doesn't want robots. He doesn't want, yes, I will follow you, Lord. He doesn't want that. He wants the heart to be engaged to say, I want my life to be lived in him and with him. I have a desire. I want that. Not that you have to do it, but you want to do it. That's the free will of choosing. And in every trial, we get to choose, right? In everything that we go through, we get to choose. But the Bible says, see, God looks at the outside of the trials, even in it. Man looks at the tribulations. God sees entrance to the kingdom. You know, that song that Michael sang, what was it? Battle belongs to the Lord. Several things in it. One of them said, we see ashes. God sees beauty. We see the cross. He sees the empty tomb. Yeah. What were some of the other things on that, Michael? You can tell I put him on the spot. I didn't prep him for this one. What were some of the others? Where's Robbie? Well, here's the lyric, man. Read them to me.
When all I see is the battle, you see my victory. When all I see is the mountain, you see a mountain moved. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. And if you are for me, who can be against me? Jesus, there's nothing impossible for you. When all I see are the ashes, you see the beauty. When all I see is the cross, God, you see the empty tomb. Amen.
Thank you. That's good stuff. See, one of the things we need to understand right off the bat is to see that trials are meant to bring us to a place to see his perspective in it and not holding on to what we only see, because a lot of times what we only see is the trial. He sees beyond the trial. He sees us going through it in a way that his benefits, his purpose are going to be known and experienced and felt and lived. So when we go through trials, it's not he's trying to take us away from something, trying to take something away from us. He's trying to give us something. Now, we have everything we need from God right now, but we don't live everything out that we have. And he's just pulling on those things that we have that we're not currently living. Does it make sense? He's pulling on those things that we have that we're not currently living. And he's wanting us to go through these trials in a way that is going to glorify him and benefit us. Let's go to James. Everybody knows this passage, but a lot of things, we know things here. We go through the trial, but we don't have them embedded here in our heart. So we think about them, but we don't have them embedded. It's not revelation to us. It's just a knowledge that we have and not a knowing that we have. So every action that we do is rooted in a thought that produced it. Every action that we do is rooted in a thought that produced it. So as a man thinketh, so is he. That's how he's going to live it out, as a man thinketh. So if you think you're a bad person, you're going to be walking as a bad person and acting as a bad person. Amen? Amen. Let's look at James. That's the reason the Bible says that we need to take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen. Take captive every third or fourth thought. Every thought. Every thought. Take captive every thought and bring it to the obedience of Christ. Okay. The thoughts that we do not take captive are usually the thoughts that captures us. Okay, so let's look at these things about trials. James chapter 1, verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Verse 7. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. That's pretty strong. Let not that man think that he will receive anything from the Lord. Being a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. That's a lot to unfold. It really is, and we'll try to unfold some of it today, but the first thing I want you to understand in this passage is, he says, count. One version says, count it all joy. New American Standard says, consider it all joy. This word consider, this word count, I have never seen it until about 2 weeks ago in the process of thinking about this. And this word consider, this word count, it doesn't mean just to think about it. It does mean there is a thought, but it also a thought with an action. So this thought with action, what does it mean? It means to get out in front of. Y'all with me? Here, come here. I'm going to call him Trouble. Temporarily, I'm going to call him my trial. So he comes in. As soon as that trial comes, listen to this. This is to me. This is revelation. It's here, and it says, "Get out in front of it. Consider, count, get out in front of it." It also means to lead the way. Are y'all catching this? It doesn't mean, this is a trial. It's pretty rough right now. Man, this is hard. This is tough. This is mean. This is bad. This is bad. No, he said, no. You come on up. You come on up. You. Yeah, come on up. Yeah, me, you. Now, you get on this side, and you get right there. The Bible says, when you encounter what? Various trials. You know what that means? That word various means? Trials of all different kinds.
That's right.
difficulties of all, not just one.
Right.
And this one may be financial. This one may be family. This one may be neighborhood, relationships, or what. I don't know what they are. But my Bible says various trials. I wished it was just one. No, I don't even wish for the one.
Right.
I want them all to be gone away with. Y'all here, Pastor John, come on up here. You a big trial. So, the Bible says, count. Get out in front of them. You lead the way in your trial. You lead the way in your trials. So, there's Bible that it also means to be surrounded. Let's see, I need another trial. Come here. I need to be another trial. All right, you get right there. So come on up here. So this word means to be surrounded by trials, not just to have one little bit. Oh, I stumped my toe. No, this means there's a lot of them, and they have appeared to have come very quickly. Have you had those moments of all of a sudden you're in a much deeper hole than you ever thought you were? All of a sudden, this thing, you know, and I've had to say, hey, when one thing breaks in your house, there's two more coming. That's what I've always heard. I don't look for them. I don't speak them into existence. But yet, sometimes they show up. One, two, three, four, all five of them. Get over here. I might slip out right there. So, my Bible, in this word, the Lord is preparing us for trials in this passage. Because we will have a tendency to worry, to be fretful, to be disappointed, to panic. We've got all of those capabilities, and all those come from the enemy.
Right.
What did he say? Count? So how do you count them? You know, it's not one, two, three, four, five. That's not the meaning of the word in the Bible. The meaning of the word, what I tell you it was? Get out in front of them and lead it. You, and you follow me. It didn't do away with any trial. They're still connected to me. But he says, consider it, count it. All means all, but it doesn't mean all of these. It means till these are gone. Do you hear me? In other words, I feel the pressure of this one, but just because I feel the pressure and I start leading it today, guess what I got to do tomorrow? I got to lead this and consider. I got to lead it, get out in front of them with what?
Joy.
Here's the hard part. Here's the hard part. What does joy mean? It means to rejoice. It means to find your joy in him and not them.
Amen.
The enemy wants to steal your anything that he can to hinder and to minimize anything that God gives you. He wants to minimize with all of this. Because he wants you to think, I'm not going to make it. How am I going to get through this? What am I going to do? When the whole time God has said, get out in front of them, lead the way with joy. Lead the way with joy. So the Bible also says that when you come with joy, it will bring you refreshing. How many of you know when you're in a trial, you need refreshing? You need to be refreshed. right? We need the refreshing. And the Bible says the presence of the Lord brings refreshing. Our refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord. So what have I got to do? I got to focus on not them, but focus on Him in the midst of what I'm going through. But see, I'm going through it. Y'all got to follow me now. Don't forget. I'm leading this thing. I'm leading this thing with joy. I got financial issues. I got relationship issues. I got school issues. I got anger issues. You know, and I said, and I'm going, but see, every once in a while they'll bump into me. It's like, okay, hey, I'm still here. Yeah, I you may still be here, but I'm still leading. Are y'all? I may bump into this one, that one. You know, this one may make its presence known, and that, you know, hey, I'm still here. I'm just letting you know. I'm still here. Guess what? You know, so you may have a flat tire when you go out in the morning. I'm still leading as I get the jack out. I'm doing this. You can tell this. Now they're like this. You know. So I'm still going through life knowing that I've got, hey. This is a whole new approach of going through trials. I know you're there. But then I'm going to have to speak to this thing. What have I got to tell it? I've got to tell it what God. How many of you are going through a trial? Y'all just pause. Yeah. How many of you are going through a trial or some trials right now? Raise your hand. Now, look, we're in good company. You know, but see, it's not that God is trying to hurt you and I or make us discouraged. That's what the enemy's job is. That's what he wants to do. God is not saying, I'm going to take something away from you. Now, you may lose something, but God is not here to take something away. The end of it means what? What does it say? Consider it, lead it, get out front of them with joy. All joy. It means not today, not tomorrow, but every day. I've got to position myself every day in the midst of this various trials. I've got to position myself every day that I'm going to follow God in the midst of it. I'm going to depend upon God in the midst of it, and I'm going to listen to God. Because he said, because it is, what is it actually doing? Look at the Bible. What is it actually doing? Trying or testing. Look at it. They're what? They are trying or testing my faith. My trust. Let me tell you this. If you have a faith that cannot be tested, you have a faith that cannot be trusted. If you have a faith that can't be tested, you have a faith that cannot be trusted. It's not worth having. Faith without works is dead. He said, these things are just trying your faith, trying, who are you going to trust in? Your own. How many of you have ever said, I got this?
Oh, my gosh.
Just one? I got a few. I got this. I got this. But we got nothing. He's got everything. And he says, the reason you're being tested is testing your faith to be able to produce endurance. Why do we need endurance? Come on up here. Doug, come on up here. Eric just stepped out. Eddie, come on up here. Yeah. Don't get with that bunch. That bunch is trouble. That bunch right there is trouble. Why do I need endurance? Because I go through all of these, and I with God's help, I have the wisdom and the revelation to take him out. You're out of here. See, that's the definition of all. I didn't just say I've got a problem and then let it linger. I had to deal with that problem till that problem was gone. I had to lead that problem till that problem was no longer a problem. He said, now you need, why do you need endurance? I don't know what's around the corner. But I do know this. This is not, I'm dealing with you, I'm dealing with you, and I'm dealing with you. In the name of Jesus, go sit down. Thank y'all so much. Thank y'all so much. Let's say, why do I need endurance? Because endurance, the Bible says, because that endurance, it has to take place until it has perfectly finished. And the perfectly finished work that these are doing is helping perfect me, to mature me, bringing me to a place that I, as the Bible says, read it, that I what? I'm waiting. That I lack nothing. I lack nothing in this situation because this thing, I have allowed it with my joy, with my leadership, and following him in the middle of it. I have been perfected. I have grown up going through some of this, and I've grown toward him. I've grown with him, not with my own thoughts, not with the thoughts of the enemy, but with his thoughts. So my question to this that everybody raised their hand a while ago was, is this. You're going through trials. What do you think Jesus thinks about your trials? What do you think Jesus thinks about the trial that you're going through? Opportunity. There are opportunities for us to grow, for us to experience our faith in such a way that I'm actively engaged and connected with God's purpose in the midst of what I'm going through instead of the enemy's purpose to destroy me. I'm connecting with God's purpose in the middle of the trial. Each one of those five had a purpose for me. We have to lead through it. We have to get out in front of it. It also means to govern. To govern. It doesn't govern me. I govern it. Endurance. Why do I need endurance? Because once those five are gone, somewhere along the line, come on, guys. Somewhere along the line, a different set. He just let me know he's here. Hey, buddy, I'm here. You might have handled them other five, but I'm different. I'm bigger. So you have all that. The Bible says they do what? They surround me. Various problems. I wish it was just one little old bitty thing. Come on, right here. And they've got me surrounded. What did this song say, Charlie, about being surrounded? About being surrounded. I tell you what, don't y'all sing that song anymore. Until you get it memorized. No, I'm messing with you. Yeah, I get it. Really, I do. I get it. It said, I'm surrounded by his love. That's what it is. I'm surrounded. So I'm surrounded by problems right now, but guess what I'm really surrounded by? I'm surrounded by his love in the midst of all of this. And the Bible tells me, okay, here's another set, so I got to lead them with joy. Not like Eeyore. How you doing? If you only knew. No, how you really doing? How much time you got? See, we can take that position because we feel the pressure from the enemy, because he's entered into the trials to get us to rethink and lose our perspective of who he is. See, this thing about my consideration, my leading, is a new perspective that God wants us to have. Because it changes how we see things. So when you and I begin to see the ashes, we will begin to see what he sees, and we will see what? Beauty. Are y'all getting this? Okay. You three can, you may go now. Thank you. Let's give them a hand. So, here we are. Considering, get out in front of, to govern, lead the way. All the whole trial from beginning to end. There is an end, and we're going to lead it to the end. This thing about joy also means to have a calmness and delight. To be calmed with delight in the midst of a trial, that's what the word means. You lead it, you lead them, get out in front of them, not them get out in front of you. And you do it with calmness, and you do it delightfully. Does that make sense? Yes. That passage about the joy bringing you refreshing, that's Romans 15:32. Another one over in 2 Corinthians 8:2 says this, and this is out of the Message, which is a paraphrase. Fierce troubles came down to the people. It means a lot of trials came down to the people, pushing them to the limit. The trial exposed their true colors. That God, he will let us know if we're on the inside different than what we portray on the outside. And he's after that. Why? Because he wants us to mature, like Brother Eric was talking about in Sunday school, be the weos, the mature sons of God, not just the children of God, but the mature sons of God. So we have all this going on, so we encounter the fall, which means to they surround, that word means to surround us. Because there's a lot of different trials, and they surround us. But anyway, this passage says much pressure comes, and these trials come, and they exposed our true colors of what's going on inside. He said, but they were incredibly, he's talking about these people that were, with fierce troubles came to, he said, but they were, listen to this, they were incredibly happy, even though they were desperately poor. They found the way to lead the problem in the midst of the trial, and they did it with joy. And it caused them to go beyond where they currently were, to be able to be exactly where God wanted them. Well, there's a lot more to say, but I do want to try to end with this. I did say the word try. That get hold of this thing, and the starting point of leading this thing, the starting point has to be, I am in Christ. He is in me. I cannot have a trial that excludes him. with my life being lived in Christ, that trial is in Christ with me. My starting point is to recognize that this trial has now entered not just my presence, this trial has also entered the presence of God. That's your starting point. That's where we have to begin. Every trial that we have, that's where we have to begin. I'm in him and he is in me. Are y'all with me? So when a trial, many trials come, they all enter Christ's presence. And that's where we start. We don't start with our own ability. We don't start with our own resources. We start with him. Now, he may include resources in your ability in some form or fashion. But it starts with this thing that has come into my life has also come into his presence. Because I'm in his presence. His presence is in me. You are not without him. See, this trial that we have, all these trials, I'm not in Christ and all of them are just outside. No. When they entered my life, they entered where I'm at and I'm in Christ. So they come in Christ. Y'all with me? I want to be clear about it, that I can't have a trial outside of Christ because I'm in Christ and he's in me. So this trial doesn't linger out here without the power of God. All right. So we've got to take these thoughts captive that are not lining up with what he said concerning trials. We look at the trials. He sees you lacking nothing. So we have got to get to the place that we see. I'm getting to the place of lacking nothing. Going through this hard time about this, but guess what? I'm leading it. I'm leading it with the Word of God, the power of God, the Spirit of God, and the hope of God, and the joy. By the way, it says the joy of the Lord. Whose joy is it? It's his. It's the joy of the Lord. It's the Lord's joy. The Lord's joy is my strength. So what's he happy about? You. He is so excited about you. He's joyful. Matter of fact, the Bible says that he spends over you. Zephaniah 3. Where is that? Zephaniah 3 somewhere. Yeah. That he rejoices. That's what it is. He rejoices over you with his love. That word rejoice means he twirls. If y'all ain't into twirling, I'm sorry. Just tell him to stop. No, he said he rejoices. He twirls over you with his love and his joy. Why? He's in love with you. He loves you. We should love him the same way. We should twirl. Well, how many? Well, I've got more than five, Pastor. I got more than five trials. Praise God, you're going to be lacking nothing more than me. You see, when you call somebody, somebody calls you and said, well, guess what? I'm in the middle of a trial. And you're not in one. You're going to say, I wonder when mine's coming. Look, it's how you think about what God is doing in your life. It's not making light of it because you have scripture that tells you how to deal with it. I told you I'd try. But I'm closing. So, just remember, your starting point in leading these trials is knowing who you are, who he said you are, and knowing what he said that you can do. You can lead, you can take lead. You can get out in front of these with your joy and let that govern you and not be led by the enemy.
I have to share this. I was betrayed by somebody who had a confidence, and it cost me dearly. It cost me being with my grandchild over a year now. And I was getting into the, it was getting so bitter in me, and I was getting so crushed by it. And here's what, and I don't claim to hear God much, but here's what I heard. It's only hurting your old nature. This is not a wound of the new creation. And this lifted off. This is what you are saying. To know who you are in Christ. The new creation is what God wants to bring forth in that. And I had to share.
Okay, great. That's good. Yeah, in a trial, the enemy wants you to make you bitter. He wants to make you better. All right, let's stand together. Okay. Does anyone in here, you're at a place to where you don't have God in your life, but you want him. You want Christ in your life, but you've not made that choice yet, but you want to make it today. Is there anybody that says, hey, I want to be saved today. I want Jesus in my life today. Anybody? Okay, so we're all believers. Yeah. Hallelujah. You did that the other day. Joseph, is that right? Joseph, you've already done that. You're right. Yeah, that's. So, but now, all right, how many of you want God's help? Because here's the thing about it. He says the first verses, and then he says, but if any man lack wisdom, you know what that means? If you're not doing too well in this first part up here, then he says, but if any man lack wisdom, ask of God, and he'll give it to you in abundance. We might not be doing real good and leading our problems out. So he said, but if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and he'll give it to you liberally. He'll give it to you in the fullest way, and he won't hold back anything. But he says this, but you got to ask, believing without doubting. Amen. That when you ask him, he is going to give it to you. Because if you doubt, he says, don't let that man that asks doubt that he's going to get anything from God, even wisdom. So he makes a way when you're not doing real well in leading the problems. He said, but if you need wisdom, ask me, and I'll give you the wisdom to know how to do it. Oh, he loves us so much. All right, how many of you are going to walk out here leading your trials? How many of you are going to walk out leading your trials? Me too. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for the message. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the place that you've put us. And Lord, you are in the process of having us to come out as people who lack nothing, but we're ready for anything you want us to do. And we ask it in Jesus' name to protect that as we walk in it. And Lord, may we be overtaken by your love and surrounded by your love with the knowledge of that every moment of every day. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.